Hi, good morning. It is Yisachar Wartel, and we are right smack in the middle of Chol Moed Sukkot. That's right, and hopefully all of you are doing very, very well. We've had some, depending where you are in the world, some parts of Sukkot, we've had some beautiful weather, some parts of a little cold, a little rainy, but much of the weather has been amazing. Hopefully it's been very well where you are. Again, this is Yisachar Wartel, and we are right in the middle of Sukkot. And once again, mentioned, our shiur is sponsored in loving memory of Sarah about Menachem Mendel. Now, there are so many things to talk about with Sukkot. I don't even know where to begin, but I have chosen one. So you're in luck. I won't hopefully just be rambling on and on. Let's start with one of the most famous psukim about Sukkot. In Parshat Emor, when Hashem commands us the mitzvah of Sukkot, he states, "Basukkot teishvu shivas yamim kol ha'ezrach v'Yisrael." In Sukkot, you shall dwell for 7 days, every ezrach in Israel. What precisely does this term ezrach mean? And I'm just giving you one explanation. I heard quite a detailed explanation over, I think it was second night of Sukkot. Anyway, or maybe it was like second, right before. It doesn't matter. But anyway, there's a lot of debate as to why ezrach is used and what it means. But literally, it means a native or a member. In the Gemara, our sages infer its meaning of someone who is born Jewish, but it does not appear that that's explicitly what it means here, since it already says be Yisrael. Furthermore, it's unlikely to mean a native Jew or member of the Jewish people, since this word is not really inherently necessary. The pasuk could have simply stated kol Yisrael or kol ish be Yisrael, every member of Yisrael, every man in Israel. So to get another look at its meaning, we see that onkelos actually translate ezrach as yitziva, which means one who stands, or can also mean one who is bound. Let's investigate that further, shall we? A sukkah, although traditionally having 4 walls, truly only needs to have just a bit over 2 walls, right? It's called 2 walls and a tefach, ideally 3, and the schach above. Now, in Jewish mysticism, we find that the number 2 represents duality, among other things, but that's the biggest thing it represents, whereas the number 3 represents tiferet, or a harmony between two sides. What makes something a building or a true structure? It's the roof. Now, a sukkah without proper schach is similarly invalidated. It doesn't matter how many walls it has. It could have 55 walls. It doesn't matter. If there's no schach or proper schach, it's not going to be a good sukkah. It's actually from the schach itself that we learn to be a yetziva, a balanced person. So we can stand up on 2 legs. But most objects can't stand up on 2 legs. They generally need 3, like a chair, a stool. They're often best with 4, just like a sukkah. But a lot of times they really only need 3. Now, in our case, we're blessed, you know, we can stand on 2 feet. But generally the rule is most things need at least some sort of 3rd leg in order to stand erect. The good news is that our sense of self, we have a centering, and that kind of balances us. So the rest of our body above our legs is effectively like our 3rd leg. It actually helps balance us because Hashem has created us that way. Everything in life should come as a balance. We don't want too much of this. We don't want too much of this. We can't be overly generous, give all our money away, but we obviously don't want to be too judgmental or too stingy. Interestingly enough, the word schach, samich, chaf, final chaf, is numerically equal to 100, which is 10 times 10. 10, as we know, represents perfection. And one must strive for perfection through every aspect of life. Doesn't mean you'll get there. Doesn't mean you're expected to get there. But you want to strive towards. One must put forth effort to excel in both Torah learning as well as labor. Both, right? Kindness and discipline, right? Balance of everything. The word schach also reminds us that it's not enough to work on perfecting ourselves, but to reach out, right, to reach above us, right, the schach above us, and many times we can't even quite reach it, but we might be able to touch it, but it's there above us, but it's within it has to be within our eyesight. We have to be able to see it. It has to be visible to us. We want other people to be visible to us. We want to be able to reach other people and see them, and we can shelter them. They can shelter us. We have to allow people to help us also. We sometimes need to be willing to accept help. That's another thing. We need to be able to help others in striving their perfection, you know, and we have, in turn, have to allow others to help us. Even somebody who is, quote-unquote, shalem, who is whole and complete, like a samech, right? Samech is a completely enclosed letter, must nevertheless open themselves up. They can't remain completely closed up. They have to open themselves up like a chaf and reach out to help those who have fallen, which is symbolized either by a final nun or, in this case, a final chaf, which is a chaf that has become lower, right, and it goes below the line. And it's not just the mitzvah of sukkah that teaches us this, but the arba minim do as well, right? The lulav, etrog, hadasim, and arevos. There are numerous explanations as to what each speech represents and how it can be symbolic, and, you know, 4 types of Jews, 4 types of parts of the body, whatever it is, right? And they're symbolic in different ways, but each species can also represent a number. An etrog stands alone. In fact, it doesn't even need to effectively be bound with the other arbaminem, although we do have to hold it together. But we only have one etrog. We only are supposed to have one etrog. We're not supposed to have multiple etrogs in our hand. It's just one. So an etrog clearly be seen as one. Arevot are two in two different senses. The arevot are arranged often as a pair of two leaves on each part of the branch, and we also have two branches of them. Now, the hadasim are actually in clusters of three leaves, and we have three branches of them. So arevot are quintessentially two, and hadasim are quintessentially three. Now, a lulav actually seems like one, in a sense, but it is actually the middle set of leaves that often determines if the lulav is kosher or not. This middle leaf is naturally bifold, and if one separates one half of this leaf, it itself is actually doubled over to some extent. So therefore, a lulav leaf can actually represent four. So therefore, we have the numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4, or which equal 10, again representing totality and perfection. Alternatively, in the more physical world, which is more noticeable to us, we basically just look at the lulav as one entity, and therefore we have 1, 2, 3, and 1, which represents a total of 7, representing the cycle of 7, the seven natural orders, etc., the concept of 7, which is the more natural world or the more concrete spheroid emanations, etc. So the four species can either represent 7 or 10, depending how precisely you look at it. As human beings, we obviously cannot be perfect, right? You know, we aim for 10, a lot of times settle for 7. Most people will come, you know, metaphorically will not come anywhere close to their true potential. But obviously, we want to strive for that, right? Hashem put us in this world for a reason. And living a balanced life where we use the gifts that Hashem has given us, that is how we can achieve our perfection. We don't need to be perfect. We're not expected to be perfect, and we can't be perfect. But we can still try and achieve our perfection, which is perfecting the reason why we were put in this world. We have a mission, sometimes many missions, to accomplish in this world. And when we are able to either fix a deficiency that we had in a previous life or to achieve a goal that needs fixing in the world or whatever it might be, that's our perfection. And that comes through not just doing what we need to do, but also through working on ourselves through introspection, now that we've had the whole process of tshuva, and that's also why we have this day of Hoshana Rabbah, too. We have Yom Kippur, and then, you know, you think we're nice and clean, and you think we're perfect, but, you know, you can fall off the wagon a little bit on Sukkot, or maybe there's something you forgot about on Yom Kippur, right? We also have Hoshana Rabbah. We have, you know, so we have, you know, the whole days of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, but even on Sukkot itself, we have one last opportunity. We have Hoshana Rabbah to hopefully reflect on our lives and how we see it, how we act, and help get ourselves together and work on perfecting ourselves as much as we can, right? We don't need to be perfect, but the act of perfecting is more than the goal, with the exception of accomplishing whatever our goal might be in this world. But we, in order to do it, sometimes we need to be in a certain place. So we need to work on perfecting ourselves. And we've mostly, hopefully, perfected ourselves through the process of Elul, through the process of Rosh Hashanah, through the process of Yom Kippur, and to some extent, even through the process of Sukkot, and therefore we can rejoice and celebrate in our confidence and our effort to become more perfect individuals. But there's more. So you have Hoshana Rabbah, so even if you're going through Sukkot, you're rejoicing, you're happy, you still might realize the slight deficiency, and therefore we take the Arevot, which represent duality, and therefore a lack of harmony, and we beat them against the ground. I've heard many, many different symbolisms as to what the Arevot represent. This is just one example. But we take this duality, this section, this thing of two, which although it's important, we want to have two sides, we want to balance things, but when two alone can represent machlokas, it can represent the lack of harmony, we want to get rid of that. We want to get rid of this rishus, we want to get rid of this divide, and therefore we beat those Arevot out of the ground. We are symbolizing that we must put aside our differences in both our internal and external lives. We cannot live with polarity. We need to have a balance. We need to have two sides. But we need to have some kind of balance and keep ourselves steady. It's incumbent upon us to seek harmony, both within ourselves, to be harmonious within ourselves, harmonious within our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and with other people as well. Have an overall life balance, and then hopefully we'll merit to truly rejoice with the ultimate balance in the world when we finally get restored with the coming of Mashiach. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.